everybody. My name's Colin Ellis, author of Culture Fix, Culture Hacks, and The Hybrid Handbook. On the Culture Makers podcast, I ask leaders from around the world to share a little bit of their story and what works well for them in the world of workplace culture. I hope you enjoy today's show. Hello, everybody. It's Colin Ellis here. Welcome to another Culture Makers podcast. And I'm very excited today to be talking to Matteo Trissolini, who is the Chief Behavioral Officer at South Slope Pediatric. Born in Italy and educated in Milan, Matteo started his own photography business at an early age and spent 10 years shooting and exhibiting his work around the world. More recently, he and his husband are entrepreneurs in the healthcare sector, an industry that puts humans at the heart of everything they do. He fell in love with customer experience and company culture and joins me now from New York to tell me everything he knows. Matteo, how are you?
Hi, Colin. I'm great. Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited. And thank you for the great introduction. It's been a journey, I got to tell you. It is true. I went from photography to, I wasn't an entrepreneur already because I did have my company as a photographer. And although I wasn't dealing with the public, you know, my clients were art directors or, you know, Simon & Schuster was one of them, a publisher. Still, you have to think about, you know, your own culture and values. At that time, I didn't know. And also about customer experience that you created for your clients. Again, at that time, I didn't know. And it basically took us, my husband and myself, an adoption. We adopted our daughter in 2010. I officially retired from photography at that time. I decided I wanted to raise my daughter. And after 15 months, during which I had lost myself completely, I didn't know who I was. I didn't know what I liked. I didn't know what my skills and talent was. And at 15 months, I told my husband, I need to go back to work. So I thought I was going to go back into photography, but I wanted to be on the other side of things. I didn't want to be behind the camera anymore. I wanted to be in production because I knew production. And at that time he said, well, I am actually ready to leave my job, a big job at the hospital and in a private practice where he was making really good money, very good living. And I want to open my own practice because if I don't do it now, I will not do it. And he said, do you want to do it with me? And of course I said yes, because we are crazy. And so we decided to not only be married, but also raise a daughter together and start a business together. So that was as of July 2022, that's 10 years ago.
You decided to do all of the stress in one hit at one time. But listen, before we get there, because I'm keen to talk about South Slope and the work that you're doing there, let's go. All the way back. Let's go right back to the beginning. So what was your kind of very first job? What was that thing that you did that got you into the world of work? Was it a culture shock for you? What did you learn? So think all the way back. What was the first job?
My very, very first job?
Very, very.
Okay. Let me tell you. I was 19 and my girlfriend at the time was waiting tables. And she said, you know, you're in college, you can make some money on the side. And she got me a job as a waiter. And what happened is that I got fired the very same night. So that was my first experience. That's how I got into the work world. And I realized right away that I didn't have communication skills, most likely. You know, not only with the clients, but also with my boss. And that's why I got, you know, kicked out the very same night. So I, at that point, it was, you know, I started thinking, what am I missing? What do I need to do better? So I went and, you know, I finished college and I moved to Milan where I studied photography. And in the whole process, I never forgotten that experience. So every time that I started to develop a relationship with anyone, whether it was for work or it was for myself, for my life, friendships, or, you know, soulmates, I always thought about the fact that I need to be able to connect at a human level with people. And it starts with listening to me. I don't do a lot of listening. And so I force myself to.
Yeah, that's interesting. You should say that. I did a program with a client yesterday. talked about listening and the fact that it's something, it's a skill that we're gradually losing over time. And you really do have, and for extroverts like us, having met you, having sat with you for a couple of days, which we'll get to, it's one of those things where you do really have to force yourself. You have to remove distractions and you have to concentrate on it. And it's a big part of workplace culture. And it's something that you're no doubt passionate about, was is how do I switch my ears on and my mouth off in order to hear the things that ordinarily I wouldn't hear, right?
That's correct. And it's not just about listening, but also it's about giving space to other people that wouldn't get the chance otherwise to use their voice. I see it on my team. I do it all the time. I have to tell myself before I speak, count to 10 and wait for someone else to start instead.
Yeah, I have this practice where I interlock my fingers together, almost like put my hands together. And it's a little trick that I learned a few years back where you're giving someone else space. And then as soon as they finish speaking, then I unlock my fingers and that allows me to talk. Now, I mentioned that we spent a couple of days set together. So we met at the Zappos Culture Camp. And I know that Zappos is influenced a lot of your thinking and Tony, the late now, unfortunately, Tony Hsieh. What was it about Zappos, or what is it about Zappos that kind of you're passionate about that really drove your thinking around culture, Matteo?
Yeah. So I'm glad that you're bringing this up, because all my friends know that I am obsessed with Zappos. And it is true, and they make fun of me. But this is what happened. As I was building the business with my husband, in 2015, I realized that what we're doing instinctively is correct. And I was getting a lot of feedback from other business entrepreneurs, not in my field, and some of them in my field, who basically would call me crazy for what the vision that I had for my healthcare company, right? Because it was something a little different from the other ones around us. In 2015, I realized that although what I was doing was right in my head, I didn't have the tools to put it all together. So I started reading books, and from book, you go to book, you know, there's a reference in a book, and I somehow ended up reading Delivering Happiness by Tony Hsieh. And I realized that this is exactly what my company needs. My company needs to write down what we believe in and then act on it. And again, I didn't know how I was going to get this all together. So I started researching online, and I stumbled on the Zappos Insights website, which at that time offered in-person training of any level. And I decided to invest a good portion of money and time and energy, not only to learn their way, but also to understand and see it with my eyes. And what was it for me that did it? The reason why, Colin, as you know, I went back 3 times. You know, we say in Italy, repetita juvent, which means that repetition will help you, right? Helps. But the reason why I went back, and the reason why it influenced everything that I do in business right now, is because I could see it with my eyes. I could feel it on my skin. I could hear it with my ears when I was there. There was no faking it. It was impossible to meet every single one in the campus at Zappos in Vegas and thinking they're faking it. This is not real. Every single person that I met just, you know, was breathing the Zappos culture. And I don't know if you had the same impression when you were there.
I did. And I'd read Tony Hsieh's book as well. A friend of mine had attended the culture camp. Interestingly, it wasn't for her. She's like, oh, I just felt like a cult. And yet, you know, I was keen to extend my knowledge of culture. And I love the fact that you wanted to create something different. And a lot of the people that we interacted with were looking for ideas, they were looking for tips, they were looking for tricks, but they wanted to get that sense of what it meant to be part of the culture. And I was the same as you. In every single person that we interacted with, they just lived and breathed it. And it didn't feel forced. It didn't feel like they were doing it for our benefit, right? And I think that was the real power that I took away. And certainly in the work that I do, is I try and help organizations do the same. They've really got to live it and breathe it. It was in every single interaction, wasn't it?
It really was. And I feel that that's the most difficult thing to explain to my team, how to live and breathe your culture and your values. And that's why I started sending, after 2016 was my first time there, I started sending my team to Zappos, because they needed to see it as I did. And I can tell you, every time that they came back from there, they just came into my office. First thing they said was, you were right. It's possible. It's there. It's real. That was why I got hooked. And that's why I still believe that that's the right way to start a business. Because what Zappos promised during those camps, those trainings, was establishing relationships. And they really do that. In fact, I'm still in touch with Krista, with Imali, with Java. Like, we talk almost every week. Can you believe it? Like, I was a client. I was a client. And I became a relationship.
Now, healthcare is all about putting humans first. And in order to do that, you have to do that within your own business. So you have to put your own humans first and create something that is almost magnetic for customers, particularly for startup. Is that something you'd agree with, Matteo?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I live in New York City, which is a really fast city where people want things yesterday, right? So no matter how you're going to get them done, it has to be done by yesterday. Now, because of this, on both sides, on the client side and on our side, we tend sometimes to forget that we are humans and we can connect at a human level. But in order to do that, that doesn't come automatically, unfortunately, anymore. Although you think we are humans, it should come automatically, right? We should have that ability. But we lose it because sometimes we think about being too professional, too focused on the transaction and not on the experience. So one of the things that I really work on really hard with my team is how do we establish that connection? It's not difficult. We do it every day with our best friends, with our family. So what if the client, the person that you're speaking to, it doesn't have to be the client. It could be a third-party vendor. It could be anyone just walking into our company for the first time asking to use the bathroom. It's not difficult to just lower yourself down to human and try to connect from human to human. We do a lot of practice on this. It doesn't happen just because we're humans. I feel that we have to work on this and remind ourselves. There was a point before pandemic where everything was coming really easily. I felt my company smelled and sounded like Zappos. You know, I felt that my team was doing it because they had it in them. It was second nature. Then pandemic hit and things changed. I saw things changing, and I'm sure that you have seen it in all the companies that you help as well, because new habits were able to form. There was enough time for new habits to form. So right now, Colin, 2022, we are going through a full-scale company culture reboot with the entire team, everyone included.
Fantastic. And in order to do the reboot, it's a point that I make all of the time, Matteo, is you have to involve the team. It would be no use you and your husband determining the culture and telling people what it is. At that point, it's almost a dictatorship where you're saying, we know best and you will follow the things that we agree. Right? It's about how do we, you know, to your point about relationships, how do we build something together that we can be proud of? And at that point, you start to live and breathe the culture because it belongs to everybody, right?
Absolutely. Culture is not the job of the CEO or the president of the company. Absolutely not. Culture is everybody's responsibility. And the thing that I think what really makes a difference is the fact that the higher purpose that you work for every day, the higher purpose that your company has and wants to achieve must be clear in the minds of everyone on the team. Otherwise, you don't have buyers. And what I mean is that during the pandemic, we figured out that a few team members that we had didn't really buy into the culture. They bought into the culture enough to be on the payroll. And that's a really hard spot to be because you're not helping the cause. You're not helping the company. You are not helping yourself. This is not the place for you. You will not be happy here. That was a hard lesson to learn. But unfortunately, it's a very important one as well.
Yeah, it is an important one, because what you want to do, and something I talk about, is the fact that your technical skills will get you an interview, but it's your demonstration of how you live the values that we have in our culture and your personality that gets you the job. You know, are you prepared to put yourself in service? And I know on your website, for those of you, we'll share the link to the South Slope Pediatrics website, because you guys put some awesome stuff up on culture. And the fact that you promise to always listen, be kind, be humble. You do all of these events, of course, First Friday, but you do your core value of the month, you do TikTok, you do yoga classes together. All of these things, it's about how staff contribute, because cultures don't evolve unless people contribute to them. And yes, we want to make sure that you do a good job and technically you're very good, but it's that contribution that makes a difference, not only to your customers, but to the people around you, right?
Absolutely. Yes. It's not just about showing up for the job, for the 9 to 5, and putting your hours in and productivity. It's not just about that. We spend with each other a lot of time during the week. So for me, I want to be surrounded, and I'm sure for everybody on my team, I want to be surrounded by people I want to spend time with. I want to have fun at work. Work is hard, you know, and we don't need to make those 8 hours miserable for anyone. So even doing the extra activities, you know, we have this tradition now that every first Friday in the month, we go out to a bar, to a club, to a restaurant together. And we just spend that, you know, 2-3 hours together outside of work, where we don't talk about work. We just, you know, eat and drink and have fun, right? That helps us get together. That helps us build a story together. We can refer then to, oh, remember that time when, you know, Taima got drunk on a first Friday and she never drinks. You know, those are memories that, although they might sound silly, they are important. They create the family. They create the work family, in my opinion.
Yeah, and what holds families together is stories, Matteo, and that's something I feel strongly about. And at South Slope, you know, one of the things it looks like you do is create these stories through the activities. You don't do culture by chance, you do culture deliberately. Things like core value of the month. Tell me about Secret Valentine. I'm pretty sure I remember you posted about Secret Valentine on LinkedIn.
Yeah, Secret Valentine happened this year again because we took a break during pandemic, to be honest. But this year it happened again because one of our team members, Carolina, said, well, listen, we are working on the culture and we want to get together. We want to get to know each other a little better. So why don't we organize the Secret Valentine, where basically we drew names out of a basket and we became somebody's secret Valentine. So for the entire week before Valentine's Day, we had to give act of kindness to this person, but secretly, without them knowing about it. So you saw an amount of behaviors that normally wouldn't be there at work, right? This new act of kindness suddenly showing up. So some people, for example, took some responsibility out of the to-do list for somebody else without telling them. So when they showed up at work, they were really ahead of schedule. Or somebody got flowers, somebody got chocolate, somebody got a massage.
Nice
massage.
Let me know next time you're doing a Secret Valentine, I'll come over.
I know. And then on Friday before Valentine's, we celebrated all together, and then we revealed. So we each had a little gift. We put a $20, you know, top spending limit. Mm-hmm. We all got a gift for our Secret Valentine, and then we had to guess who the Valentine was when we were opening the gifts.
It's so good. The best workplace cultures for me, they're the little things that they do. And of course it's about the work. And of course it's about customer service and relationships. But in those small interactions between staff members, they're the things that build trust. They're the things that build that connectedness and sense of belonging. And it sounds like you have it in spades at South Slope. So I got one last question for you, Matteo, and I know you're a busy man, so I'll let you get on with your life. Is when you think about the future for South Slope, how, you know, and this will be a question that everyone's interested in the evolution of culture. You're saying you're doing a bit of a reboot at the minute. How often do you look at your culture? How often do you kind of refresh it? What are some of those things that you and the team work on, and maybe you and your husband work on, to keep culture fresh so that it always stays relevant?
Mm-hmm. So first of all, I want to explain what we're doing, the reboot. I told you already there were new behavior happening, you know, establishing during the pandemic that we wanted to correct. And we just remind ourselves who we are, what we believe in. But at the same time, because the pandemic was such a unique period of time, we hired new team members. So when you hire a good amount of new team members, there's a culture shift that happens almost immediately. And either you take control over that or you start losing your culture, right? We know that. Every company, every team, everyone has a culture, and you're responsible for, you know, getting on it and controlling it, or just letting it go and let it be whatever culture that is, right? So if you want to be intentional, you have to look at your culture every day. Are we doing the things that we say that we do, that we believe in? You know, if we say that it's important for us to be kind, are we being kind in every single communication, in every single, you know, in my body language, am I being kind, for example? You have to look at it every single day.
Fantastic. For those of you listening to this, I'm going to, I would urge you, we'll put a link to the South Slope Pediatric Culture on the podcast. I urge you to check out Matteo's LinkedIn profile as well. He does these fabulous 8 a.m. club live videos, which anyone can take inspiration from. Matteo, it has been so great talking to you today. Thanks so much for joining us on the Culture Makers podcast.
Thank you so much, Colin. I had a great time.
Thanks so much for listening to today's podcast. If you've enjoyed the show, please share the link with colleagues and friends or your connections on social media. Better still, why not keep the conversation going and join our community of culture makers for free? Share information from around the world on how to create a great place to work. You can join us at www.culturemakers.community.